Welcome. On behalf of AU Research Center, we want to thank you for attending today's presentation. Upcoming presentations. On November 30th, Terry Anderson is presenting the Canadian Institute of Distance Education Research CIDR and the Pan-Canadian Research Survey. On December 7th, Cam Jugdev, Maureen Hutchison, Terry Markowski are presenting online course innovations, the Great Debate, and the MBA orientation, our FOIP announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's Lunch and Learn presentation is being videotaped. The purpose of taping is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to borrow the tape and view the proceedings. The Illuminate session will also be available online, and we will email out the link. It's my pleasure now to introduce my new friend, Simon Sigu, and his presentation on understanding how manufacturers and retailers use sales promotion. Simon, if you would like to introduce yourself and carry on, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shirley. Okay, I don't know what I should say to introduce myself. I'm Simon, Associate Marketing Professor in the School of Business. So I have been here for a while, and I think that is enough about me, right? Yeah, today's presentation is, how long are you going to
be? 3/4 of an hour.
So, today's presentation is, the title is Understanding How Manufacturers and Retailers Use Sales Promotion. This is, I think, a topic that has been of interest for me since 1999. When I defended my thesis, and have been trying to work on this topic to find new findings that can be of interest for the general public and also for manufacturers and retailers. So the main goal is to help people to be able to make clever decisions in the business. So, the content of my presentation, will be, I will talk, we'll cover 7 topics. First, we'll try to give you the context, the general context surrounding self-promotion in North America. And then I will give you my research question and discuss the methodology and the model. And then after that, I will state some assumptions because in our work, we used to say human beings are nothing if they are not able to make assumptions. So we will try to discuss the assumptions that help us to try to conduct this research. And then I will present some findings and discuss the managerial implications and probably future research avenues for that. Okay. To start talking about the context of this research, I think it's good to try to understand what's going on in the general market at this moment. A good question that I could ask is sales promotion a new marketing weapon? Probably you will say no if you think about weapon of mass destruction, because here the issue is not destroying people or destroying the world. So the answer will probably be no. Self-promotion is not the weapon of mass destruction. But if you look at it in the other way and say, okay, probably if you look at how people conduct the business, you will say, okay, probably it could be a weapon. Okay? Because this kind of weapon could we call weapon of mass subjugation. Okay? Because the whole issue behind self-promotion today is to try to push people to buy as more as possible. Okay? And we can see today that, for example, every Friday you receive all these kind of flyers in your door and so on. All of them are part of self-promotion strategy. Okay? And you go to superstore, now how do you call that, extra food here? You have all these discounts, price cut, and so on, strategy, and come on Friday, you will have this 10% discount, and so on. All of that are part of self-promotion strategy. So, you look at how marketing communication has evolved since the 60s, you will say, yes, new marketing is a new weapon, definitely, because at the beginning of the 60s, the main strategy that the company were using was advertising, okay? And advertising on the radio or TV to try to build the brand image or the reputation and brand image of the product. But what's going on today is that we have seen a complete shift. Instead of doing advertising, many companies are allocating their money on self-promotion. So, more or less, studies show that they allocate more than 60% of their communication expenses to self-promotion. This can show you how important self-promotion is in marketing communication today. So, what are the factors behind this new trend? Probably one of them is that executives are more and more and increasingly focusing only on short-term results. Okay? When you have the pressure, the marketing manager has the pressure in his back or her back to produce very strong sales and short-term profit, the best way to do it is to try to sell as more as possible in the short term. And the only way to do that is to try to give people incentive to buy at the moment. Okay? This is one of the factors behind this. The second factor is increased accountability. Okay? More and more people are asking, we are spending money on advertising, but we don't see the result. Because advertising on the TV may have a long-term impact, but if you look at your sales, the direct impact on your sales, you may not be able to show it. Okay? It's not because you are doing advertising that you can really in the short term show that you are having an impact with your advertising campaign. So this is difficult, but with self-promotion, you can show that. Especially with the availability of scanner data today. If you run your self-promotion, for example, in Superstore, you can check really and see how effective this is on your sales. Okay? So, another point that is important here to consider is that probably the fact that more and more we have a huge number of brands for every kind of product in the market, and those brands, if you look at them, in terms of product differentiation, in terms of product features, it's difficult really to see why they are different from one another. So, in this situation, in this kind of context, the only way is to try probably to provide consumers with more value, and self-promotion is the best way of doing that. And we look at also in several industries, the industry have reached what we call the mature stage. Okay, that means that even if you affect your budget, communication budget in advertising, probably what you will have is will not increase the general sales in the industry, but you will try to capture market share from your competitors. So, more and more, even from the consumer side of the story, we realize that consumers more and more are not brand loyal anymore.
How many people just look at what is featured in the, for example, in Superstore? No, Extra Food here at the end of the week and go and buy this gas? Okay. Before, for example, some people will tell you, okay, I'm really, if it's not Coca-Cola, I'm not drinking. But today, some people will say, oh, Coca-Cola is not on sale this week. I will probably have Pepsi Cola or even the Life Cola. No, not Life Cola. It's a PC Cola. Okay? And if you combine the fact that the brand loyalty and the promotional sensitivity has increased, then everything is done to really support the fact that to be successful today in the marketing, in the market, you need to consider sales promotion in your overall marketing tools. Okay? I think that is important here, that it's very interesting that to mention that, for example, there are new studies there outside showing that some people will buy product just by the fact that there is a sales plan, even if the price is still the same. Okay? The fact that people have put that on sale is enough for people to buy, because in their mind they have been programmed that, okay, on sale means that everything is, the price are low. Okay.
Simon, could I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm troubled a little bit by the definition of promotion. I'm not quite sure whether when I turn on the television and I see a sport of some sort, and the camera may focus in on the running shoes that the person's wearing, and they just happen to be Adidas or something like that. Now, that's a very important activity in our society, that kind of marketing. Is that a promotion, or is it, what is it, what, how do you call that? How do you classify that?
I should say that in marketing, the term promotion is used in two ways, okay? Promotion can mean the overall set of marketing communication activities, meaning advertising, sales promotion, public relations, and so on. You will find that in some books, using the term promotion to design the whole mix of activities, marketing communication activity. But what we are concerned about here is sales promotion. And sales promotion will be defined as activities that give short-term incentive to people to buy. Okay? And at this level, we will distinguish three types of promotion. Is very important also to have those in mind. We have retailer promotion, what we will call retailer promotion, which are undertaken by retailers and can take display, feature, price, cost, and so on, like Superstore, Extra Food, Walmart, the kind of promotion that those retailers will initiate themselves. Okay? And we have trade promotion. Those are promotion targets at business people or salesmen or saleswomen, not targets at consumers. Okay? So generally the manufacturer will give incentive to companies like retailers and so on to sell their product. Okay? Those are, they are not targeted at final consumer but at intermediaries. Okay? And we have consumer promotion, like coupon, rebate, contest, bonus pass, sample, premium. Those generally they are undertaken by the manufacturer himself. Okay? In our study, we will talk about retailer promotion and consumer promotion only. That means promotion target initiated here or controlled by retailer, target of final consumer, and promotion initiated by manufacturer, target of final consumer. Okay. Then the question we want to address here is No, actually, no, the question here is what we know about sales promotion in the literature. Okay? If you go to the literature, you will see that you will find that many people will tell you that promotion is expected to have a short-term impact on sales. That means that if you start your promotion activity today, you should see the impact of this today on your sales. Sales should increase because there is incentive there to buy the product directly. And in the literature also, some people will say, will claim that promotion will have no impact on long-term sales. That means if you stop the promotion, there is nothing. You will not see an impact of anything after. But with the kind of data, today we know more. And we have seen that more and more some research has shown that actually promotion will have positive impact in long-term sales. Okay? That means that promotion, when there is promotion, people probably who have never buy the product, they will buy it and probably they will repeat buying it after. So we call that they generate a repeat purchase effect. And also some people are showing that, some research are showing that actually promotion may even improve the brand image. A good example of this is Canadian Tire. Okay, if you consider Canadian Tire money, this is a very old campaign that was initiated at the last of the late 50s, but it's still running today. You go to have your Canadian Tire money, and they give you an incentive to come and buy again the next time. Because you know that you have your money. Canadian Tire money, so you have the surplus of value. So promotion may improve the brand image, actually, and the brand equity. But some research has also shown that actually promotion may be negative on long-term sales with what we call the stockpiling effect. Okay, the stockpiling effect means that when the product is in promotion, people will buy it huge amount of large quantities and stock it. Okay? And then after promotion, they will not buy. And probably if, for example, the kind of toilet, tissue paper and so on, people can even stop them for 1 year and wait for another promotion. This type of situation, promotion becomes negative for the company because people stop buying, they don't buy when the product is not on sale, and probably in the long term you end up selling your product with a lower margin every time. There is another effect there. Company like Procter & Gamble actually have trying to deal with it because the fact that a company is on sale every time could mean for some consumers that the product is not a good quality product. So this will generate what we call a damaging effect on the brand equity. Okay? And the company has, like Procter & Gamble, has taken decision to reduce the frequency of promotion that they can undertake because of this effect. So, in the research and the analytical modeling, because the paper I'm presenting here is analytical modeling, unfortunately there is no research on retailer promotion and no research on consumer promotion. What we have there in the literature is on trade promotion. And on trade promotion there are basically two main issues. One issue is the pass-through effect. The pass-through effect, what is that? The pass-through effect is that if, for example, the manufacturer gives a 10% discount to the retailer, he will expect probably the retailer to pass the 10% to the consumer. But in some cases, the retailer may not do that. He may receive 10% and give 8% or 5%. So, that means that in this kind of situation, the retailer is taking advantage of the manufacturer promotional activities because he keeps selling the product at high price, although the manufacturer will expect the retailer to lower more of the price during the promotional period. Okay? And we have another effect called here the cooperative advertising, that the manufacturer will give, for example, an amount of money or commit to support part of the retailer activity like flyers and so on. And he expects the retailer to do this activity because he is providing some money to support this activity. In some cases, the retailer can take again this money and put it in his or her pocket and refuse to do the activity as. So there have been some research myself and other people who work on this issue. And, but like I said, research on retailer promotion and consumer promotion, analytical research, doesn't exist. So, now, considering that with the scanner data, we know that there may be a long-term effect of promotion, a positive or a negative effect. The question we want to address here is how a channel member, okay, should adjust his marketing strategy to consumer and retailer promotion to targeted at consumers and keep maximizing his or her profit. Okay? So, specifically, to be specific, the question will be, should channel member increase or decrease the regular prices during and after consumer and retailer promotion? Or should the manufacturer invest in brand image advertising given his or her and the return of previous promotional activity target at consumer? This second question is important. Why? Because, like I said, if promotion may affect negatively the brand image, then probably a strategy that the manufacturer could use is to advertise more, to try to balance the negative effect of promotional activity. So another question will be, should channel member increase or decrease the regular prices during and after consumer and retailer promotion? And of course, how should the manufacturer know? Okay. How channel member decision compare under manufacturer control and retailer control promotion? Because those are different type of activities. Are consumers better off with manufacturer control or retailer control promotion? At the end of the day, what is important for us as consumers is to know how much we pay. If we pay more with the retailer, then it's probably not good for our pocket and for our well-being. So to address this issue, like I said, we try to build a model, an analytical model. Why we use the analytical model here is that, first of all, like I said, distribution channel is involved a few members, okay? In our case, we will really focus on two of them, the manufacturer and the retailer. In some cases, you may have wholesalers between the manufacturer and the retailer, but here we consider a short distribution channel where you have just this member. And also, another point is that the channel output, we call here channel output the price that the consumer will pay at the end of the channel, the quality of service that the consumer will have, and maybe the quantity of product that the consumer will have at the retailer is the channel output. The channel output here depends on the action of all channel members, okay? Because if the manufacturer sets a wholesale price, a very high wholesale price, of course, the retailer will probably end up setting a higher retail price, okay? The same in terms of the support. If the retailer doesn't receive enough support to provide good quality service, then probably he will end up giving a poor 5G service to consumers. Another point is that internal number payoff here, payoff will be a profit, depend on the action of owner member. Okay? Of course, if the retailer is, for example, having very high retail price, at the end of the day he will not sell enough, and then the manufacturer will not also sell enough, because the retailer will not buy a huge quantity and stop them if he is not selling them. So we have to have the flow. Make sure that the product that comes from the manufacturer goes straight to the consumer. Okay? So in this kind of setup, the only analytical way to address this, because we have interaction between channel manager, the only non-methodology in the literature or in the world is game theory. And game theory is a branch of mathematics that helps us to solve this kind of problem. Okay, probably you are not familiar with it, but you have probably heard about John Nash. And one of the key concepts in game theory is the Nash equilibrium. Okay, the Nash equilibrium means that you remember, because they consider it like economic situation like a game, and to solve, to derive a strategy, people will play simultaneously. That means that there is no doing, how should I get it here? They will sit in on the table together. Probably this image will be good. They will be together on the table, and at the same moment, they look at the watch and they take the decision. Okay, no one knows what decision the other one has taken. Okay, this is the Nash equilibrium. The second type of equilibrium that we will have, and probably is the concept that we will use here, is the second channel one called Stackelberg equilibrium. That means that in this situation, there is a leader in the market, and the leader here will be the manufacturer. The manufacturer will announce his price. The retailer knows exactly what the manufacturer has set as the wholesale price, and then he decides on his price. This is more, I think it captures more the reality of what's going on in the market, because every time the retailer knows exactly what is the price of the manufacturer. So, I don't look at me like that. I know that we don't want to see those signs, but I just want to talk a little bit about the model. Okay, then after that, we will have two slides like that. After that, you won't see them again. Okay, here, how should we capture the short-term effect of promotion and the long-term effect? We consider again with two periods. Okay, the first period will be the short-term effect. During this period, there will be promotion. And the long-term effect will be the second period of the game. So what is the point? The point is that here, for the first game, the retailer will just set his price, the retail price, at the in the first period, and the retail price there. And the manufacturer will set the wholesale price, and he will set the promotional activity rate here. And he will set, at the second period, he will set the wholesale price, and he called here brand image advertising. That means that the kind of advertising that we try to build is brand image, okay? So we will consider that the demand will be this. That means the demand, this is the initial demand. And then we will have, the demand will depend on the promotional activity of the manufacturer and the retail price for the first period. And the second period, the demand will depend on the brand image advertising, the promotional activity of the first period, and the retail price of the second period. Here, the alpha we have here is meant to capture the long term of promotion. That means if this alpha is negative, that means that the long-term effect of promotion is negative. If it's positive, that means the long-term effect of promotion is positive. meaning that promotion, for example, helps to build repeat purchase and so on. If it's negative, that means that it creates stockpiling and so on in the first period. So here we have the profit, the retail profit of the first period, the retail profit of the second period, the manufacturer profit. Okay. The second model is more or less the same, but the retailer will now decide the amount of promotional activity here. We will be the small A, and you can see that now the manufacturer doesn't undertake promotion, and they still undertake brand image here. The owner are the same. Okay. It's finished with the mathematics. This is the most difficult part of my work to say, so I know that. Okay. Like I said, we need to make some assumptions, okay? In our world, everything, human beings are very complex, okay? If we want to deal with human beings without assumptions, we will end up dealing with everything and probably with nothing. So the first assumption is that we are assuming that people are rational, okay? Yes, I think you have heard about this assumption. Human beings, we are assuming that are rational. What does that mean here for us? That means that manufacturers and retailers are in the market to maximize their profit. Okay? Everybody in this wants to maximize their profit. We also assume that they are intelligent people. What is intelligent people mean in the world, in the history terminology? Only mean that every channel member knows that he is rational, of course, but he knows also that the order is rational. Because it can happen that you are rational yourself, but you assume that the order is dumb. No. A rational and intelligent person will assume that the order is also rational. Okay? And the rule of the game here are common knowledge. What does that mean? That means that everybody knows exactly what's going on. And everybody knows that the other people know that he knows what's going on in the market. Okay? And we also assume that the manufacturer and the retailer think strategically. Thinking strategically means that in your decision-making process, you take into a consideration that the action of the other player will have an impact on yours. Okay? For example, that means that if, for example, the manufacturer wants to increase his price, he will probably think twice because he will say, oh, if I increase my price, the retailer may react to my price increase decision. Okay? He may also increase the retail price and then what will happen? So, thinking strategically is taking into account that other person will react to your decision. Okay, another assumption is that recall that we use N1 to design the manufacturer profit for the first period and N2, the manufacturer profit of the second period. We are assuming here that the manufacturer will just add their profit from the first period to the second period. What does that mean? That means that for the manufacturer perspective, receiving money today is not different from receiving it tomorrow. Okay? Because if we consider that receiving money today, if we were to consider that receiving money today will be different from receiving it tomorrow, we will add something here. For example, an interest rate. Okay? But here we are considering a very simple thinking and saying, okay, we don't care. Receiving money today will be the same like receiving it tomorrow. The same thing for the retailer. And also here, remind that we said this alpha will capture the long-term effect of promotion. So the alpha here, we normalize it between -1 and 1. -1 meaning that the long-term effect is very, very negative, and +1 meaning that it's very, very positive. recall also that very negative means that there is stockpiling effect and positive meaning that there is a repeat purchase effect, okay? And constantly after the may deal with the stockpiling effect, probably you have seen that sometimes you go to the store and they say we are on promotion, but during the promotional period you cannot buy more than 3 units. Okay? What is that? The idea behind that is to control this negative effect. Okay, because if they are known to buy the whole store, you will not come after you will just come maybe after 2 years. Okay. Now, we will not talk about this. Let's try to give you how we solve this problem. Remember that we play a two-period game. But within the period, we have stages. That means that the manufacturer will announce his retail price from the wholesale price of the first period. Then the retailer will set the retail price of the first period. Then the manufacturer will announce his price of the third period, and the retailer will the price and the advertising here. Then the retailer will set his retail price. But to solve this problem, because really to make sure that no one will have the incentive to change his strategy from one period to another, we will solve the problem backwards. That means we will start determining the second period retail price, then going back like this. This is called the sub-game perfect equilibrium. It's technical. It's not very important. Okay. So what we have here is the first result we have, because this is the first model. That means that the model where the manufacturer control retail price. Control promotional activities. Okay? Our results show us that actually, in some cases, if the long-term effect of manufacturer control promotion is very large, it's not good for the manufacturer to undertake promotion. Because even if he's getting money today, what will happen in the long term will probably be more detrimental for his profit. So, if this effect is very negative, it's not worth for the manufacturer to undertake consumer promotion. The second result we have is how the long-term effect of promotion affect prices, wholesale and retail price. And this shows us that actually the regular wholesale and retail prices during promotion increase when the long-term effect of consumer promotion increase. Okay? If the manufacturer take into account the fact that actually doing promotion today will increase his sales in the future, his worth increasing the retail price during the promotional period. Okay? That means that for you, you may end up saying, okay, now the price is X, but this price X is really slightly higher than the price that the manufacturer could have asked if there were no promotion. Now, the second period prices, if we look at how they evolve, we will see that in the second period, the price may increase if the long-term effect is very negative, or they may increase if the long-term effect is very positive, because they will follow like a U-form, I guess, with this being the lowest level. Okay? Why increase the price when the long-term result is very, very negative? Because remember the brand equity issue, the fact that if you are doing promotion, your promotion is having a bad start, you will probably say, okay, really to try to fight this effect. I will try to increase the price to show that my products are not as bad as people may believe. Okay? Now, how the manufacturer should design his advertising strategy in the second period. We will find also a structure like a U-form. Okay? That means when the long-term effect is very negative, the manufacturer should increase his advertising. Okay? The manufacturer increased advertising here to try to reveal or to improve the brand image just to balance the negative effect of his promotional activity. But the manufacturer also may increase his advertising expenses just to support the long-term, the positive effect of his promotion. This, for example, happened in the situation where the manufacturer wants, for example, to introduce new product. Okay? He will first increase his advertising expenses, probably to improve the awareness of the product, and he will also promote more to have people buy his product for the first time. Now, if we want to compare to see if promotion will help us to pay more or less in the long term, we have to compare the prices from the first period from those of the second period. So we look at how the prices evolve over time. We see that if the long-term effect is negative, is zero, that means that promotion does not affect long-term sales, two-period price will be the same. Okay? But as soon as the long-term effect is there, it doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative, okay, the first period price will be lower than the second period price. That means that the fact that promotion has a long-term effect, if manufacturer and retailer control that, take into account that promotion has this long-term effect, they will increase the price in the long term. Even if they are giving you a deal today, they will increase the regular price in the long term. Okay, this is finished with the first model. The second model, where the retailer controls sales promotion, we follow the same structure. That means that, again, the manufacturer as a leader will announce his wholesale price first, and then the retailer will react to it, and so on. Okay, here what we see is that the retailer will increase his promotional activity with the long-term effect. It doesn't matter where the long-term effect hurt really very badly the long-term sales. Remember the first proposition with the manufacturer, where the manufacturer will say, oh, if I am losing that much for the long term, I will probably stop spending money on promotion. For the retailer, he or she doesn't care. Okay? Because he is the manufacturer problem at the end. He will keep promoting, even if the long term effect is negative. Probably let's go to proposition 9. Okay. No, 10, please. Okay. Here, if we look at the retail price over time, okay, we will see that the first period wholesale price is higher than that of the second period. That means what? That means that the manufacturer will not look at the sign of the long-term effect. Okay? He will not look at this effect, and he will increase his price. He will reduce his price in the second period because the first period wholesale price is higher than the second period. Okay, so for the manufacturer point of view, is good if the retailer is the one who is controlling promotion to set higher wholesale price at the beginning and reduce it in the long term. But from the retailer perspective, we will see that the retailer, he will charge the same price in the two periods when the retailer promotion do not impact on second period sales. Otherwise, the retail price of the first period is higher than that of the second period if the long-term effect of promotion are limited. Okay? So, for us as consumers, we have to care more about how the retailer behaves. Okay? Because the retailer will take into account the fact that the long-term effect is negative. Probably he charges less price in the long term, or he may charge higher price in the long term if the long term effect is positive. So it's not like a clear decision. We have to take into account how they see the long term effect of the promotion. Now, if we compare the result or the finding of these two models, we will see that the two channel model, first period wholesale and retail price, are lower if manufacturer instead of retailer control promotional activity. For our well-being, what does that mean? That means that it's good for us in the short term that retailer control promotional activity. It's not good for us that superstore, Stratford or Walmart and so on, initiate promotional activity. It's actually better than those activities in the short term being under the control of the manufacturer. Now, the second period is interesting because it's different. We will see different kind of decision making here, different kind of rules here for the wholesale price and the retail price. For the wholesale price, we find that the wholesale price are lower under manufacturer control promotion than under retailer control promotion in the long term. But the retail price are identical under the two types of promotion if they do not impact on long-term sales. So if promotional activities do not impact on the long-term sales, then it's for the retailer also, it doesn't matter, the price will be the same. It doesn't matter whether promotional are under the control of the manufacturer or the retailer. But if it happens that those effects exist, the long-term or the positive or negative long-term effects exist, then the price will be higher if the manufacturer rather than the retailer control promotion and the long-term effect are negative. And the reverse holds true too. That means that if the long-term effect is positive, the retail price will be lower if the manufacturer rather than the retailer control promotion. The decision making is there. I won't give you a simple rule to leave it today. Leave here with that today. Manufacturer invest less in consumer promotion. This is a very interesting result. Manufacturer will invest less in consumer promotion than retailer do in retailer promotion. So, we can see that probably Walmart, extra food and so on, certainly more future, how do you call those? Buyers every week than manufacturers do. Okay? So they spend more money on promotion than the manufacturers. Brand image and advertising rate in Model 1 and Model 2. we will see that the manufacturer rate of brand image advertising does not change from one model to another if promotional activities do not impact on post-promotional sales. Otherwise, the manufacturer undertakes extensive investment in brand image advertising under manufacturer controlled promotion if the long-term effects of promotion are negative. Okay? That means that if the long-term effect is negative, the manufacturer will probably spend more money on brand image advertising himself because he wants probably to correct that. And he will spend more money on brand image advertising only if the long-term effect of promotion is positive to support retailer promotion. This is like a kind of punishment that if a promotional activity hurt my brand, I will not spend my money to support what you are doing. So, the last part of our presentation is to try to see what can we do, what can we learn from that. First, is that manufacturers should not undertake consumer promotion that heavily damage brand goodwill or strongly generate stock value. The second point is that retailers always undertake retailer promotion even if they damage post-promotional sales. So manufacturers have to take that into account, that those superstore, Walmart and so on, they do not care about their well-being. Okay? What they care is really to generate sales in the short term. If the long-term effect of consumer and retailer promotion are ignored, we may end up seeing channel partners charging either too low or too high regular prices during and or after promotion. So here mean that it's good for us if those people are clever enough to take into account those effects in some cases. Some cases it's good that they ignore those effects because if they take them into account they may end up spending more money to have our product. It matters, of course, who initiates promotion target of consumer. Okay? It's not the same. The effect of promotional undertaken by the manufacturer are different in some cases with the effect of promotion by retailer. So, post promotional brand image may help to reinforce positive impact of retailer and consumer promotion or to reduce the damage of heavily damaging consumer promotion. For our well-being, we think that consumers are always better off with manufacturer better than retailer control promotion in the short term. Not in the short term. In the long term, it may the story may be different because if promotion, the long-term effect of promotion is negative, then it's probably good for us that retailer instead of manufacturer control promotion in the long term. Okay, now, of course, remember that we have those dealt with a single manufacturer and a single retailer. So, there are several ways of explaining this work. First, probably would be to combine retailer and consumer promotion in the same model because here we have taken different models to analyze each of them. But in the real world, sometimes it happens that So we may consider the two types of promotion simultaneously, and we may introduce competition because sometimes actually manufacturer or retailer may just initiate promotional activity probably to fight what, to mimic what the competitor are doing. So we may have to take that in the future. We also have to introduce, this is very technical class and promotional elasticity, further than that. Thank you for your attention. Yeah. Actually, I think that the example you are giving here is more than too much. It's like kind of a shift of position. Because the company based on the product and the positioning here is the overall image that the company wants people to have about the product. Okay? You want people to see it as good quality, for example. Good quality means also, of course, that is expensive and so on. So, if in the road you decide to say, okay, probably I'm not very successful presenting myself as a very good quality product and I want to change this image, perception that people will have, I will have to reduce my price and will have probably to start showing that I'm not targeting very high standard segment, like I'm lowering it, then you have this kind of problem. But in terms of promotional activities that have failed, I think that there are many there outside. Okay? An example, because really it depends. For example, if a company is introducing, launching a new product, for example, they may choose to use self-promotion, like, for example, giving samples in a store. Okay? You have seen that. You go to a store, you have sample of new products and so on. What is the aim behind this? The aim is that by giving you a sample, you will go and try the product, and the expectation is that you will come and buy it, to buy it and adopt it at the end. Okay? If this doesn't happen, that means that the whole process has failed, right? So, for promotion, it depends really what is the goal of promotional activity. This is not about the goal, because there are several goals for promotional activity. For example, we have seen that in the end season, for example, promotional activity. Generally, the goal is what? Is that we have several products in the store, and we are at the end of the summer. It's better to sell them at a lower price now than keeping them to wait the next year. So the whole idea is really to try to empty the stock. If you don't reach that, then you have failed. And you have different kind of goals that can be behind that. Yes.
Simon, I'm surprised that you're able to get such interesting results without looking at the structure of the industry itself or the sub-component industry. For example, if we talk about retailing foods, then you have, let's say, several brands of coffee. And if consumers regard those brands as more or less homogeneous, then the retailer, for example, couldn't promote brand A, knowing full well that next week he can promote brand B and sell more of brand A initially and brand B subsequently, and it doesn't really matter to him because he's getting more volume of coffee sales. It matters to the manufacturer. So I suggest that one of the things you need to do in order to your further research is try to look at the structure of the subcomponent industry.
You are completely right. That's why we're saying that we have to introduce competition.
Yeah, okay. That's what you mean.
Introduce competition at the manufacturer level, at the retailer level. Here, the kind of model we have apply mostly, for example, in the situation where in the franchising industry, for example, where you have the Tim Hortons headquarters dealing with a franchise in a specific area. So the franchise actually has also the monopoly in the area. So we have a situation where you have a single manufacturer dealing with a single retailer. So the model we have developed here is applying in this kind of situation. It doesn't apply to situation where the retailer has several brands of the same product, because there will be competition. And for the retailer, actually, this could be very interesting to look at, because for the retailer, actually, sometimes it depends on the margin that he receives from one manufacturer to another. So what is the incentive for him to promoting one product instead of another? So it has this need to be addressed.
But I'm not sure that what you said captures the idea of the extent of homogeneity of the product. For example, in Athabasca, we have two major food retail stores, and they compete very actively with one another. And sometimes one can see the promotional activity is intended to generate traffic. They promote coffee, Nabob coffee, for example, by advertising a special price. That's not only to sell coffee, but it is to move customers to the other store. So now that's what I think competition implies. But the homogeneity of the product is a somewhat different concept. After all, if coffee is coffee, or if gasoline is gasoline, then price is absolutely fundamental to the sales. And a couple of cents reduction in the price of a liter of gasoline moves customers to that particular store. And that's a matter of how homogeneous the product is, not so well captured by the idea of competition.
No, the idea of competition, actually, like I was saying, you will capture this well, because the intensity of competition will depend on the homogeneity of the product. Okay? If the products are very close substitutes, then the competition will be, the level of competition will be very high. Okay, so this will be captured with one parameter.
Well, I want to maintain my position that if there's only one store in town, you see, even if it is selling homogeneous coffee, it would not be much advantage to promoting one brand of coffee over another. So that's lack of competition or a monopolistic power in terms of the retail structure.
You have something to write. I could show you how this could be captured. Because it will be captured with just one parameter. This part, the parameter of measuring the level of competition in the industry will be the parameter that will capture if the products are very highly substitute or if they are homogeneous. Because if they are very, suppose that, for example, we normalize this parameter to maybe 0 to 1, okay? Then, for example, if the parameter is 0, that means that the product are not substitute. Actually, there is no competition in the industry. And if the parameter goes very high to 1, that means that really an increase of 1 centimeter of probably the other product price will shift the demand from one product to another. That means that is very, very, the products are highly substitute.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll have to close the session now. Perhaps we could continue on the topic next time. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.